This tape is being made for the Tualatin Historical Society. Today we are talking with Cliff Floyd, one of the first members of the Tualatin Fire Department. Tell me, Cliff, were you born in this area?
No.
Where were you born?
I was born in Dillard, Oregon.
How old were you when you came here?
Out here?
Yeah.
Let's see, we moved out here in 1930.
You came to this area in 19...
From Portland. Yeah.
Did you go to school out here?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All mine was in Portland.
All your schooling was in Portland.
Yeah, I was, let's see. How old was I? I'd have to go back, You don't want that history, do you?
Oh, we want all the history we can get.
Did you have any brothers or sisters that lived out here?
No. Well, yeah, I had a brother over here in Garden Home.
Over in Garden Home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What area did you settle in? Here where you are now, or was it...
I settled right down here. Just as we hit this rock road, coming to that straight road coming up here, where those walnut trees are, that was my home.
How many acres did you have?
I had... To begin with, I had 5 acres. Uh-huh. And I let the boy have two. He got married and he wanted to live on to it. And so I had two and a half, and he had two.
Mm-hmm. How many children do you have?
I have three.
How many grandchildren?
13.
You got me beat.
I have one.
No. Grandchildren, I've got... Let's see, three on this side, three, four. I just got four grandchildren. Oh. I'm thinking of great grandchildren.
Oh, 13 altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did you do when you first came out here? Did you just run the farm, or did you work in Tualatin there?
I worked for the farmers, $1 a day. It was right during the Depression time.
Yeah, that's what I used to weed onions on Nyberg Swamp for that.
That's what we started. That's probably where you seen us.
Yeah.
Mrs. and I, we got acquainted with the Nine Nyebergs and Tressa and Bill Barngrover.
Yeah.
Heck, my wife and Tressa Barngrover, they were just like sisters.
Yeah.
I went to school with the Barngrover kids, you know, Bill and
Harriet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you join the fire department?
1939.
You started as a volunteer in 39.
That's right, volunteer.
How many were on the fire department? Everybody was on thin, I suppose.
No,
a lot of volunteers.
No, they didn't have too many. Up to the time they started getting paid men, why they'd build up to around about 25.
When did they start having a paid fire department?
1948.
Not till 1948, huh?
That's right. I was the first paid.
How many were on the first department?
There was four of us. I was on there on the right off for three months. I was the only one.
Mm-hmm. Bill Barnger was the fire chief, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the fire chief.
What hours did you work then?
I worked 8 hours.
Oh, 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I know some fire departments, they're all in 24 and off 12.
Well, at that time, yes. We was that way along towards that. We'll get at that as we went along.
Did you?
But I was just working days there, and then if he needed, we got a phone. And the phone there, lots of times we couldn't get that, so then he got those, I can't think of the name of it. I've been thinking and thinking. Each one of us firemen had it. Whenever the siren would go off, this thing would buzz in there and it'd tell us where the fire was.
Oh, huh. You remember the first fire you ever answered, fire alarm?
Yeah. It was a grass fire.
Oh, is that right? Whereabouts?
Way up on top of Chehalis Mountain.
Way up there, huh? Took a little while to get there, didn't it?
That's right. Well, we got up there in, what did we figure, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
What was the biggest fire you ever worked on?
Biggest one. Probably that one is the one out there in well, there were several of them as far as that goes, but I think Sherwood there was a, that was pretty near a whole block burned out there.
You remember when that was?
You're getting me on my dates now.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. What kind of equipment did you used to have? Just one fire truck?
No, we had the two rigs. We had the Dodge pumper.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the old reel.
That reel?
No, we had a tanker too. At that time, when that fire was on there, why they had that? They had old. They had a tanker in there with 1,000 gallons on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Remember how big Tualatin was in, what the population was about?
When we come in here, when I moved out here, it was 325.
The boundaries are a lot smaller than they are now, too.
Yes.
What is it now, over 12,000?
Yes, better than 12,000, they say.
I don't know.
Putting your 12,000
sign down there, but I don't remember.
A sign right down, going down the
I'll look on the way back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You remember the first car you ever had?
The first car was an old, was the, as far as a pumper is concerned, was the old reel.
The reel?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a real antique now, wouldn't it?
It was a school bus, and we turned in, we changed the body onto it, and put a tank onto it, and put a pump onto it, and...
How big a tank did you have on it, do you remember?
500 gallons.
500 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Could you get quite a bit of pressure out of it?
Mm, yeah, we'd get enough pressure on it for a real hose.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We used it, we used that, and of course, we found out, see, when we become a rural, that was the Tualatin Rural Fire Department, you see, before, it was just for the city down there.
Yeah, the fire district covers quite an area now.
Oh, yeah.
Beaverton and Tigard?
We go the boundary line between clear down to Clackamas County and you see in Willamette. We go clear down to the bridge up on top of the Peach Mountain.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
And you go east of the, do you go into Clackamas County?
We're in Clackamas County. That's a portion of the district.
Yeah. You say you go down as far as Willamette?
We go down as far as the bridge, crossing the Tualatin River, going into the Willamette Park down there.
Well, you go that far?
That's right.
Then how far?
And then as you come back there, we go as far as the, well, everything this side of the Tualatin River is really in our district.
Mm-hmm.
So we go on some of those side streets, it goes right down to the river, see?
How far west do you go?
West? We go clear up there to the, take in all of Chehalis Mountain, clear over there to the highway coming up from out of Shoals.
Out of Shoals?
Yeah, or going over there where you cross over there at Baldy Peak.
Oh, yeah. How many fire stations do they have now?
Seven.
You know? Seven, huh? And they're all manned all the time.
No, I don't think they're manned all the time. I don't think Wilsonville's is.
Oh.
I think Wilsonville's is still volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Did you do your own cooking in the fire?
I did.
Were you a good cook?
Sure. Well, we...
He said he was.
She's like my cooking anyway.
Yeah.
You just let me tell you.
Okay. Okay, tell me what you can about the fire department.
All right. The Tualatin Rural Fire District was started in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they started taking the volunteer firefighters. Anybody that wanted to join, well, all I had to do is come and see the chief, and he'd sign him up. And most of us was, then I was a volunteer for 9 years, up to from 39 to 48.
Excuse me, when there was a fire, were you called by phone or by siren?
By siren.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
See, I could hear it clear up here.
Yeah.
And then I would go down there and whoever was left there at the station, why, they would tell us where the fire was. In fact, lots of the times there, why, I used to get down there in time there to take out the second truck, mm-hmm. and whoever was there. And when I was become paid men, why, I had to wait till I got one man. And lots of times I'd get two, see, but if I got one, then I'd leave the station.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't go out alone, though?
Oh, no, I can't go alone. Oh. See, and I was classed as a driver, and then this other man there, well, he was a nozzle man, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's lots of times I'd get two or three. But I could leave, just with one, because as we drilled, why, we was... Even the volunteers, they knew just about what they had to do, see?
Yeah. If I may get personal, how much did you get paid when you first went to work for the fire department?
Well, in the I got $200 a month when I first started in being a paid man.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what they get now.
They're getting $2,200, some of them.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's entirely different than what it used to be, boy.
Oh, yeah.
You take the guys today, why, they really got something there. I don't know, just, well, now, this was in 19, was it 88? Yeah, 89 was their 51st birthday. Their 50th birthday, I talked with a guy there, and he's one of the drill masters now, and he says he's making $2,200. See, and so they have, I suppose the chief there, he's got at least three, maybe four what they call the battalion chiefs. They have their different programs, you see.
Yeah.
One of them takes care of all the parts there for the garage and repair jobs, getting bolts and screws and whatever they need, you know. And then another one there, why, he's out checking for different buildings there for how they're fixed for fire and stuff like that, fire doors, yeah. and different thing, and then they go to the school.
Fire prevention thing.
Yeah, that's their fire prevention. We go up there at the school and check over them. We give them a fire drill to see how they come out. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they still do that.
Oh, yeah. Then we have all the kids there. They that's what they used to. Why, during that fire prevention week, why, the kids would write up an essay on about it and what they think it should be due and all this and that. Some of them puts out a pretty good...
That's a good training for them.
Oh, you bet.
When did you leave the fire department? When did you retire?
68. Started in 48 and quit at 68.
Well, that's a nice round figure, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, I was forced to go then because I was 65.
Oh, huh.
See, and they had on their minutes there that everybody had to, they had to quit at 60. Well, when they put it on the minutes there, well, I was 62 already. So they had to let me go to, I got three years on them.
Do you have any idea how many men they are in the fire department down here now?
Yeah, somebody told me there they have over 100 of them now.
Over 100?
Mm-hmm. That's 100 paid men.
That's in all seven... Right.
All seven stations, yeah. I think Tigard and Tigard and King City, they're the biggest, but they have some of their the bigger fighting, like the snorkel and the hook and ladder are at those two stations.
Yeah, they probably got bigger buildings to contend with.
Oh yeah, they got a bigger. So then after we got going for a while there, he put on an extra man for on each of our shifts there. We had two shifts down there. So we got one day off. And this extra man, he would take our place for that day.
Oh, yeah.
For each shift. See, one was on. See, and then later on, they come up there, and when they got on to 24 on and 24 off there, then they went under A, B, and C. They had the three different shifts.
Yeah.
Well, down here at this station, wherever there was a tanker, just a tanker by itself, there was only three men. Mm-hmm. But where they had this snorkel or the ladder, they had five extra men. Mm-hmm. It took five men to operate that darn thing.
You was going to say something?
Well, he was going to tell about the building of the fire department down there.
The building?
Yeah.
Oh, when was this building built?
Well, that was built from it was built from 36 about 40-42.
Sounds like it was a project of some kind.
It was all volunteer work.
Oh.
We even had we had two contractors there. And then this all the volunteer firemen that could come down each day, they'd come down there and they'd be packing mortar for these contractors and putting up those block bricks down there, you know, and everything. Of course, the reason for that is because if we got a call there, why, some of us guys, we'd have to go out on the fire.
Oh, sure.
I know that wasn't completed. I left Twelton in 41, and it wasn't completed then, I didn't think.
It probably took a little better than 42, maybe 43.
Yeah, it wasn't completed when I left, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we met before, why, we was in the city hall.
Yeah.
That was where the Dodge was, and then this, for a long, long time, it was when we had the Rio. The Rio and the Dodge was in there. That the Dodge was a pumper, and this Rio, tanker there, see, or a pumper.
Where are they building the new station, do you know?
No, I don't know. Somebody said it was going to, I think they mentioned something out on this, Tarleton Shirt Sherwood Highway. At first it was going to go up here on the Borland Road down past the hospital.
Oh yeah, I know where that is.
But I think that's I think they've changed their mind.
Oh, it's between on the Tiger and Sherwood Highway. I mean Tarleton and Sherwood Highway.
Yeah, I think so.
I know they said yesterday in the Historical Society meeting that they expect this one to be torn down in a few months. They didn't know for sure how long, but as soon as they move out, they're going to tear it down.
Well, they're probably waiting for this and new one.
Out of downtown.
Yeah.
Must be for the new one getting built.
Yeah, that's right. They're waiting for the new one.
Yeah. And, of course, they built the main office right down here just across the street from Burns Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On Ellickson Road.
Yeah.
See, they got a station down there, and then they have their offices down there. Mm-hmm. Then they got one out here on Mountain Home Road.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, isn't that area where it is now part of that new development downtown Tualatin where they're going to build a big shopping mall?
Evidently, it must be.
I think it is. It's part of the fix in that area. Mm-hmm.
I think they're growing out of their pants. Yeah. Maybe not.
Well, there's so darn many people out here now, they require a lot more protection than they used to.
I just found out that he was appointed.
Well, on the board of directors?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we used to have two down in Wilsonville. I don't know who they got down there now. And then Mosier, he was up on Johnson Road, what they call the Homestead Road now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had the old Hunsicker, you know, the Hunsicker Road named after him. And
yeah.
He was one of the directors, and then old,
Woodhouse.
Woodhouse? Yeah.
Yeah.
Woodhouse.
Yeah. Woodhouse from Sherwood.
Yeah.
And then we had,
Was Bill Barngrover the first chief?
Yeah.
Of the paid fire department? Or a volunteer boat.
Well, he was volunteer too.
Yeah.
In fact, he was the one that started the fire district up. And when they first got, you know, they had an old federal truck there with a bed on it, and they just had hoses in that. And then they just used the hydrants. There's no pump on it or anything. That was when the hydrants was built down there. That was through the PWA.
Oh yeah, in the 30s, huh?
Before that.
Yeah.
I think. Well, it could be.
Yeah, I think that was in the early 30s sometime.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, seemed to me like it was.
Yeah. But when we started to go out, we found out that we needed something besides that RIA, and we needed something besides that old Federal. And
after you go out on a fire, I often wondered, how do you dry the hoses out?
How do you drag them out?
Dry
them out.
Oh, dry them? We didn't.
You just put them away wet?
Mm-hmm.
When they mold?
Well, I think we found out that some of them did, so then finally they built that tower down there at the station down here. Where they could string them up and then drain them.
Let them drip out, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Drip dry.
Of course, we got them pretty well because lots of times there, we'd roll them up. Mm-hmm. And as we held them up, you know, to roll them, why, that would force the water out of it.
Yeah, but they were still wet inside.
Yeah.
Of course, I guess if you used them often enough, why...
No, in those days there, we was using them.
Yeah, that's it.
That was before these environmentalists got in here and began to kill the, you know, you can't build a fire now unless you get a permit.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it is or not. On some people, yes.
Yeah, we're worried to make us quit using the fireplace even, maybe.
Yeah, they're going to make you quit using your wood stove even.
I don't know.
I think that's going too far.
That's right.
To my notion.
There's an awful lot of people that can't afford anything.
Right.
Well, you're sure you can't afford electricity, that's a cinch.
They go out and cut their own wood.
Sure.
Of course, if you buy wood today, it's kind of expensive.
Well, it's pretty high that.
My neighbor tried to get a cord of wood the other day, and it was part fir and part maple,
yeah.
$160.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a load of logs hauled in now, and it used to be about $400. Now I guess it's up to about $600 now to get, if you can get them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's different little things down there that, see, when they went back east and they got that the big hook and ladder. That was in the late 50s.
How long a ladder was that, you remember?
100 feet.
You go up 100 feet, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You ever go up the top of it?
I was the first guy that climbed it.
Go over the top and come down the other side.
In fact, when I was drill master down there, that's how I used to do them with our just ordinary ladder. Two guys holding it, and then the other guy went up, and he went over the top and come down on the opposite side. When they first done it, some of the guys says, "Hell, you're nuts." I says, "No, I'm not." I says, "If I do it, will you guys do it?"
You got to have a lot of faith in the guys just holding the ladder, though, and a thing like that.
All right. they had to learn to climb the ladder, even. You know, a lot of guys, they just wiggle from one, their old butts just going from one side to the other. Well, that ain't no way to climb a ladder.
No.
You got damn near have to climb it stiff-legged.
That's right.
So I went up and come down the top, and he said, some of those guys that was there that night, they said, "Hell, I heard him." I says, "I'll be damned." I says, "It can be done, so go ahead." I says, "Listen, if you get leery of it," I says, if you go up one side and come back that side until for the first two or three times." I says, "I don't expect you to go over there the first time." I says, I drilled down there down at Klamath Falls there for two weeks. Chief sent me down there to see the state had a schooling down there.
Oh, huh?
State fire marshal thing.
Did you ever have anybody freeze up there and afraid to come down?
Oh yes, I had one guy to, hell, he wouldn't even climb a ladder. He just got so whenever he was there, he says, I'll operate the pump. And I says, "Listen, boy," I says, "one of these times you're going to get caught. Somebody is going to force you to go up."
That's right.
I don't know whether he ever did or not, but hell, he's retired now, so I guess he don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of bad to have a fireman that wouldn't climb a ladder.
Yeah, I am. In fact, we went up different places there where I had to have a rope there and tie it around my waist, and they tie it to a tree or something there, so I could hold on. For a chimney fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, some of those. I had one guy, one volunteer down there, whenever he come out on a fire, he says, "I'll go up, Cliff." He says, if you follow me up there and help me get up on the roof, he says, "I'll go." But I says, "I don't want anybody else to help me."
I don't suppose there's any fire alarms in those days for their homes, were they?
Finally they begin to get these smoke alarms.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Smoke alarms, yeah.
Well, your phone was awful bad. That's why we, on all the trucks there, whenever we went out, we had a two-way radio. We didn't have to depend upon no phone. We'd call back into the station over there, give them the station call, and...
Yeah. No, the phone wouldn't be very dependable.
Yeah.
Did you have a spotted dog on your fire truck?
We had a Dalmatian down there for a year or two.
You did have one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Just got so bad there, and some of the guys didn't want to take care of it and stuff. And, oh, when we first got it, he rode with me. He'd ride back there on the hoses back there.
I understand they like that.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that funny? A lot of dogs like to ride.
Yeah. And we had a Dalmatian, just the old typical fire, firehouse a dog.
I guess they don't do that much anymore.
No, getting away from it.
The old gag was they always took them along to find the fire hydrants. Yeah.
Well, we was classed, this department down here was classed right behind. Was right next to Portland.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm, in the rating.
I guess it's still pretty high, isn't it?
I bet it is.
Yeah.
I just can't figure it out. I don't know how it is now. You see, all of Washington County has all gone into one.
Yeah, Washington County.
Yeah. And I still don't know. One, all except Hillsborough City. That's still in the city, but Hillsborough one, and you take Alloa, take Cedar Mills.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether Beaverton's in with it or not.
Beaverton's in this one, in Tualatin Valley.
Yeah,
Beaverton's in Tualatin Valley.
Well, I know that, but whether they went in with him.
Yeah, he said they did.
Yeah.
Well, then there's Beaverton, and then there's West Slope.
Yeah.
Then there's the Tualatin number two. Tualatin Rural District.
Yeah.
Now, they all had cheese.
More cheese than Indians, eh?
Well, I'm just wondering what, when they all went in together, I'm just wondering how some of these chiefs are making it.
Somebody got demoted, eh?
Of course, Tualatin down here, they just got a new one, because even Washburn, he'd retired, you see, when they made this change. He just got out of it. I've often wondered just how he would act if he was if he had to be cut back, go down back as a battalion instead of a chief, and you know, that's quite a little thing, you know, if a guy's really easy worked himself up to be a chief and everything, and has made a district flourish, you know, and everything, and then it gets into one like that, and all those chiefs get together and they pick somebody else to be the main chief. I don't know just how that would work. City to get that, they was getting in new machinery, and some of these truck salesmen, fire truck salesmen, told them about that, and it was either one of the directors or somebody went back there. I don't think the chief went, I think it was one of the directors, and they went back there and they brought it back to all the directors, and so they decided to go out and buy it, so.
I suppose most of your fire trucks come back east. They're not made on the West Coast, are they?
I thought some of them was built over at Cornelius.
Maybe.
That's right, they was. A lot of our tankers was built over there in Cornelius.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Do they still make them over there?
I imagine they have. The Western Fire.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I didn't know they made them there.
Well, what they do is they probably get the chassis and then they put the bodies onto it.
Well, yeah, they probably don't
they
make it.
Put the body in the tank and then the pump and everything.
Yeah.
As far as the truck itself, why the engine and the tank and the chassis, why?
Yeah.
Naturally, that comes from wherever they're built. See, back east someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the main thing is to get that body and that tank on there and everything, real hoses and tailgate and.
As on the average, how long do those hoses last? Do you have to replace them every 4 or 5 years, or?
On the average, well, so many up in there that they're scuffed around, you know, they just get wore out. Right. Then the
cars run over them, everything.
Yeah, a lot of that too.
Yeah.
But it's just dragging them around, a lot of it, and
yeah,
they get scuffed, you know, and then they get so weak, you know, and the first thing you know, why, then they poop open, see.
Put them under pressure. And they,
oh, yeah. There's quite a little bit of pressure on some of them.
Must be.
You take that pumper on our inch and a half, and that's the one we drag around. That's really the one that the hoses go first is your is your inch and a half. And because they're dragged right on the ground, unless you're packing in any kind of distance, and then you don't drag them so much because it's all packed in shoulder pack.
But how many feet of hose can a man carry, the average person?
You can carry 150 feet.
150 feet.
That's three sections.
Yeah.
You pull it out of the truck. You just pull it out and put it on your shoulder.
Start walking.
It's just like a fold, see?
Yeah. Yeah, I know they fold up.
And whoever's there, the officer of the day or the captain or lieutenant or whatever he is, he'll tell so many men to take. So the lead man, well, he'll go out and then he'll pull with his load, he'll pull out one extra section. That's the extra 50 feet. Then he stops. The other guy makes his three, he gets a hold of it and he pulls out three more folds.
Mm-hmm.
Then he steps out 100. And it all depends upon how many they need. Sometimes they take at least three and four guys.
Well, I suppose.
That was just like when we drilled up there at the old intermediate school out there at Sherwood, you see. They had their fire hydrant right out in front of the school, just off the road, by the flagpole. Well, we'd pull up there, and then we'd pull, and we went clear around in the back on our drills. We'd go clear down there where they park, and they're going into their school bus garages and everything. Then we'd go clear around the back. That'd take about sometimes four guys.
Yeah.
To get it inside, see?
Yeah.
See, if you had three guys going down, and that other guy, he had 150 feet. Well, you was practically at the door, so you had 150 feet to fight inside the building.
Yeah.
Quite a knack to it.
Oh, I suppose there is.
A lot of drilling. Boy, I had a lot of those guys there. They was coming just... They was taking a little interest in it. A couple of the guys up there, why, they got in their damn head that I wasn't doing right. He says, "What are you doing that for?" I says, "Who's doing this? This is my way." I says, If you want to be the trainer here for this, you go and ask the chief there to take it." I says, just let me alone as long as I'm.
Well, sure.
I'm the drill master.
Okay.
Well, there was two or three directors standing up on the front porch of the school. They heard every goddamn word of it. Hell, the next morning the chief got me down here when I come to work. He says, "What happened up on the drill at the schoolhouse, Cliff?" I didn't say anything. "Come on," he says, "come on, you tell me." I says, "You don't want to hear this." He says, "Why?" "Well," I says, it's hitting pretty well at home for you, boy." I says, "Two of your relatives up there, they thought I wasn't doing very good, and they let me know about it, and I told them, I says, if they can do any better, why, them, they're to see you."
I suppose when you got a lot of guys, that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Quite frequently, you know.
Hell, my throat was cut down there a lot. You see, I was captain of the department.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, good Lord, Bob Cernan?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, he was one of the members.
Yeah.
Well, he had to quit his health, see? And then a lot of his work, he was working out of town a lot, see?
Yeah.
And then his health was too. So he told the chief, he says, I'll give up the captainship of the department if you'd give it to one guy. And he says, well, who's that? He says, you give it to Cliff. And he says, I'll step aside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I become captain.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a lot of them, they didn't like it.
Oh, sure, that always happens.
Sure, I had two or three of them there. Hell, they got to be battalion chief. I just kept captainship. The chief is way up over me.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the chiefs there, hell, he was my partner when there was only two of us. Two different shifts.
Yeah.
Hell, I didn't complain. Hell, I told him, I says, more power to you. I says, hell.
Yeah.
Now that's just the friction in the departments itself.
That's right. The human element.
The human element, can't get by without it.
Yeah, that's right.